Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police. Here we are, of course, on a bank holiday, working. Unlike an awful lot of other fucking people who've decided not to work. Kevin O'Sullivan's here with me as well, also working. Well, some people call it working. It's a beautiful day. It's been a magical weekend, Kevin, hasn't it?
Very, very nice.
And there's been some interesting events as well.
Indeed. I've never had a fucking bank holiday off in my entire fucking life, as far as I know.
There's no point in having a bank holiday. Well, what's the fucking point of sitting in traffic? You know, there was a 7-mile fucking tailback on the M25 going up towards the Dartford crossing, right? I mean, who in their right fucking mind is driving on a Good Friday or a fucking Easter Saturday? And where are they going?
Yeah, stay at home, folks. And don't get in the traffic jams. Right. It's just a nightmare when you go out.
I mean, obviously, if you were travelling on the trains, you were also in shtuck because there was no fucking West Coast line from the whole of, I think, as far up as Glasgow, all the way down to fucking Euston. Euston Station was effectively shut since Good Friday.
Yeah, but why? The
way fucking wrong with them?
Well, that's what they do. They wait for, Christmas and Easter, and that's when they shut all the stations.
When everybody's travelling.
And slam the train lines shut.
No.
So when everybody's travelling, they make sure that you can't travel.
Right.
I mean, why don't they do it at a different time?
Well, because the reason why you work on a bank holiday is the same reason they don't. They've never worked a fucking bank holiday because they're always doing fucking work on the bank holiday. Guess what? They want to have bank holiday weekend off, that's why.
Yeah, I know. And the banks have a holiday, but why do the rest of us have to have a fucking holiday?
Well, we don't. I mean, that's why we don't.
I think, you know, there's this campaign for the 4-day week. Well, I'm campaigning for a 7-day week. I'm going to go straight back to it all the way through. No time off at all because so many people are cunts.
Yeah.
I want them to have shit lives and to work fucking 18 hours a day, 7 days a fucking week. But seriously.
Well, that would work actually because then they'd die sooner.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wouldn't be such a strain on the fucking NHS.
That's the thinking behind my plan.
Right.
Early deaths for all.
Yeah.
Save
money on the pension and everything.
But you know, there is this big campaign now for 4-day weeks. And I say, well, you fuckers never asked us. You never asked us if we want a 4-day week.
No.
It's just these fucking socialist labour cunts, who just associate work with sitting in factories for 10 hours a day. And they just want to do less and less work. Well, loads of us don't.
Also, have you ever spoken?
4-day week. Also, you didn't ask me.
No.
I don't want to do a 4-day week.
And also, have you ever fucking spoken to any of these 4-day week nutters, right? They all sound the same. They're all called Sebastian. Mm. And they all say, oh, well, it's been proven that people who work a 4-day week are far more productive.
Bollocks,
bullshit.
Absolute bullshit.
Fuck off, Sebastian.
And it's also predicated on the fact or the assumption that everybody wants to do a 4-day week, that everybody wants to do less and less work. Well, I don't.
No. So I mean, I've said this many
times. Nobody fucking asked me.
When I was married, right, I couldn't fucking wait for Monday morning to get back to fucking work. Last thing I wanted to do was stay at home with fucking two young kids and a fucking wife. Yeah. Especially when I had a very nice blonde mistress up in London with big tits. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I wanted to get the fuck out, work as many days as I possibly could.
Which is why, time off to get to the big tits.
No, this is why lockdown was such a nightmare for people who were having affairs. You couldn't fucking get away. Well, you were stuck at home with the fucking mistress.
The big tits were unavailable to you.
And there are probably some women as well trapped with their horribly boring fucking husbands that weren't getting the fucking their end away with their fucking younger boyfriend.
Exactly. But, you know, I've always had a good time at work. You know, the work gets in the way a bit, but apart from the working bit, I have a good time.
But you and I have been very lucky, though. We've worked in jobs where it was fun. I mean, it's not much fun if your job's shit, is it?
It depends. Well, you know, but sometimes journalism is really shit.
Well, it can be.
Yeah, but at least you can go down the pub for six hours.
But you've been fortunate, though, in the world of journalism. You've never had to really fire people, have you? You've never been sort of, you know...
Oh, yeah, I have.
Have you had to do that?
Yeah, a few times. Always rather enjoyed it, actually. Particularly, I used to like to pick up when I was running features at the Mirror and stuff like that, and showbiz. I used to specifically search through the staff list to find people, you know, with wives and children.
Oh, yeah.
And mortgages to pay, and then sack them.
Right. Well, because, you know, they
the
can
single people who didn't really need the income. No. I always kept them in the
also,
job.
Also, the people
with
a lot of dependents will get a job quicker because they fucking need to.
You know, a lot of people would say that's rather cruel of me, but that moment when you tell the married man who's got a wife and three kids to feed and a roof over their heads, the moment you tell them they're getting fired, the look on their face, it's priceless.
Yes.
It's worth treasuring.
It is. I mean, I've had a couple of people burst into tears on me and I wasn't even firing them, no. And I ended up in one case with a woman who I was firing and took her down to this room with the boss of HR, who was also a woman. And the end result was them fucking hugging each other, weeping in each other's arms, and both of them calling me a cunt. I'm like, hang on, I'm only fucking doing this because you asked me to do it.
Yeah.
The HR department wanted me to fire him. And guess what happened in the end? I got fucking fired and she got kept on.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
You know, fucking unreal.
You know, the thing is, you're working on newspapers, you know, job security isn't one of the top
facets
of your
jobs. Well, congratulations, you've now moved into radio where it's even fucking less good.
Tell me about it.
But listen, let's talk about the news because there's been a lot of big news over the course of the weekend, not least from God's very own messenger, Justin Wanker Welby.
Cunt Welby.
Yeah, Wokeby.
Cunt.
I mean, he thinks he talks to God.
Fucking
prick. Are you sure he hasn't just got voices in his fucking head?
Does he think he's... It's outrageous, to be serious. It's outrageous what he's done. He's conflated his own North London chattering class dinner table circuit beliefs and political outlook. He's taken them and conflating them with what God is or what God
he thinks God reads
for.
The fucking so Guardian.
He thinks God's you know, the
God,
Guardian.
God does not read the Guardian.
Well, with his fucking track record, I think he reads fascist news. I mean, you know, fucking look at the state of the world.
Yeah.
This guy's not a Guardian reader.
I don't think he is, no. Yeah. Also, what fucking right does this wanker have to say that he talks to God or he speaks for God? How does he manage to do that? Some people don't even think there is a fucking God.
Most people think there isn't a fucking God. Because I'll tell you why. Because there isn't one, obviously. I mean, if you think there's a God, I've got bad news
yeah,
for
I've
you.
Got very bad
You're
news.
Fucked. There
I
isn't one.
I think there
one.
Is a devil, though. Do you think there's a devil?
Yeah, his name's Justin Welby. I think never trust a guy who wears a dress for a living.
Listen, I'm not sure that we can do enough bishop bashing today, or archbishop bashing. But the bottom line for me is that apparently he used to say that Nigel Farage was the fucking the devil incarnate. What the fuck's he got to
do
with him?
You know, the thing is, the Church of England used to be nicknamed the Tory Party at Prayer.
Yeah.
Which it was, basically.
Yeah.
Conservative.
Not now, it's not.
Councillors going to the local church.
Yeah.
At the weekend.
And the Blue Rinse Brigade.
And now Welby has turned it into the North London chattering class Guardian readers at Prayer. But at least he thinks he has.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's why only about 500,000 people bother to go to the Church of England.
It's I mean, fucking waste of time. It's supposed When's the to last be... time you went to church?
Well, probably for a wedding at some point or a funeral. Funeral, it would have been a funeral.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I haven't been to any funerals for a while, actually.
Yeah, I went for one a couple of months ago, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Got another one next week, actually.
Really?
Tomorrow. Wednesday. But I don't think I'm going to go.
Why was he a bit of a cunt?
Charlie Catchpole.
Oh, Charlie Catchpole, yeah. A lot of people liked him.
I did.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
He was a good friend of mine.
He was a good guy.
I can't make it. My wife is going as a representative of the family.
Quite right, too. Anyway, so as far as the Rwanda scenario goes, right, we didn't talk about this last week because it hadn't happened. I think it's a fucking great idea, don't you?
I think in principle it's a good idea, but a lot of people around Westminster believe it will never happen, and that Boris Johnson has actually predicated his own plan, his entire plan, on his personal belief that it will never happen.
Right.
It'll get beset from all sides.
Well, everything else that Priti Patel... I mean, everything else that Priti Patel said is going to happen doesn't happen.
Yeah. You know, so Boris wants to be the guy, and indeed Priti. They want to be the people putting forward this bold plan, and then all the fucking human rights lawyers, the Labour lot, the Guardian readers, all come in and stop them doing it. So Priti and Boris aren't the villains. The human rights lawyers and the Labour Party are the villains.
But I'm pretty sure
will fucking happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you're probably right, but I'm hoping you won't be right on this occasion. What I think is funny, though...
Give it a go, I say.
Say give it a go. What is funny, though, of course, is that Arsenal have got, like, visit Rwanda on their football shirts, right? Keir Starmer's an Arsenal fan. Somebody said to me the other day, what chance is there of somebody getting a picture of him wearing a fucking Arsenal shirt with visit Rwanda on it?
Well, he didn't mind going to... he had to declare in MP's interest in the book the other week when he was given free a box at Arsenal at the Emirates for a bunch of his mates and him, and the whole bill came to about $3,000,
right,
and he had to declare that he was getting it for free, and that was the club that is in bed with Rwanda. Rwanda has paid Arsenal £30 million to say visit Rwanda. So,
Well, they can just take that out of the money they're getting from Forest.
But Keir Starmer, they'll still be playing Arsenal. Mm. So Keir Starmer, because of that trip alone, can't really have a go at Rwanda.
No, but he can't have a go at Rwanda, but he does have a go at fucking Boris, saying this is a cruel... Because they love it in the Labour Party, don't they? They love calling the Tories cruel, racist, fucking scumbags.
Yeah, kind of, but he's been stymied, old Keir Starmer. His only real criticism of it is it's going to cost too much.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to come out and say this cruel, vile, heartless plan must never happen, because he knows it's fucking popular.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a good masterstroke by Boris to stymie Starmer into the corner.
Yeah.
And Starmer's got no fucking response.
But as people say, nobody in the Labour Party doesn't like anything that's popular. If it's fucking popular, they immediately don't like it because they don't know what fucking people actually want.
Starmer's shitting himself about this, though.
Yeah.
So it's good words. Boris says he wants the first plane to leave for Rwanda in 6 weeks. Good luck with that.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, if they've done the deal, and you want the scheme to work, why 6 weeks?
Why don't they just round up a load of people?
Why not 6 minutes? Well, it now.
Well, this is it. They could just round up a load of people from one of these fucking hotels that they're all holed up in and stick them on a plane.
Boris is saying 6 weeks, so there's plenty of time for the human rights lawyer mob to get involved and stop the plane ever taking
off. Also, if I was an asylum
Boris
seeker...
the last thing he wants.
If I was an asylum seeker in a hotel under threat of being sent to Rwanda, if I didn't want to go, I'd fucking just get the fuck out, wouldn't you? He's given them 6 weeks to get the fuck out.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, because everybody who's already in a hotel, this system is backdated to January the 1st. Mm. So I would have thought that anybody who's been there since January, or indeed like 2 weeks ago, even a week ago, they'll do what so many of them already were doing. That's what nobody...
Disappear.
We put them in these... Everybody goes, oh, it's a disgrace. We put them up in four-star hotels. Yeah. It's costing us £5 million a night. We give them money. They're missing the fucking point. The disgrace of it is we put them in these fucking hotels. They have a little rest up for 3 or 4 days, and then they just fuck off.
Or they get a house.
They just disappear.
Or they get a house.
Or they disappear.
Well, they disappear and work... some of the places where the criminal gangs put them.
Yeah, they disappear. Right? Mm. They disappear. We don't know. So they think that there's millions of these people here. So that's what mainly happens to the migrants. They don't stay in these hotels forever. They just disappear. Mm. So they'll be doing that in their fucking droves right now because they don't want to go to Rwanda. So get the system going now. Yeah. Stick them on a fucking plane.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Now, what about the other big story of the weekend? The NHS getting overwhelmed with COVID patients. So that they said would happen. Did it happen? No. Did it fuck? Of course it didn't fucking happen. You know why? Because nobody's in the fucking hospital. I walked past the hospital both Friday and today. Yeah. And there's no cunt there.
Well, they never
there's
work at the weekend.
There's nobody fucking doing any work. There is nobody working for the NHS on bank holidays.
We're fucking overwhelmed with the fucking NHS moaning all the time.
And being
That's
shit.
What we're overwhelmed
and
about.
Shit.
Yeah, the NHS fucking moaning. Shut up and fucking treat a few patients. And we're not protecting you, you cunts. You fucking well protect us. I'm never protecting the fucking NHS ever again as long as I got a hole in my fucking ass.
Yeah, well, if
now
you have
fuck
a
off and cure some people, you moaning NHS public sector arseholes.
Yeah. And if you do have anything wrong with your ass, don't bother going to the NHS to get it fixed, because they won't fix it. They'll fucking give you COVID, right? Yeah. That's all they'll do.
I've got an NHS arsehole. It keeps moaning.
Yeah, I can't fucking shut it up. And every time I take it in there, it gets fucking worse. That's the problem. Because they do. The number of people that I speak to who go to the hospital or go to the doctors, right, and get treated, and then end up being fucking worse off than they were before. Fucking worse off than they were before. How the fuck does that work? I was saying, if you go to the fucking NHS,
right,
basically all the people I talk to say that they were a lot fucking worse off, or their elderly family member was a lot fucking worse off at the time they came out of hospital than when they fucking went in.
Oh, yeah, usually with COVID.
They normally haven't been fed properly, or they're dehydrated. They don't get looked after properly because there's not enough fucking people to look after them, because most of the staff are not fucking there.
Well, of course.
They're all at home.
They should just put fucking great signs up on the front of hospitals, you know. COVID available here. Free. Free of charge.
Free COVID, that's it.
COVID.
Never mind. Yeah, that's
COVID,
it.
COVID receptacle.
Never mind.
COVID reception centre. Catch it here.
Yeah, never
Free
mind.
Free of charge.
Never mind.
Free at the point of entry.
Never mind. Never mind fucking COVID zero. Just free COVID.
Yeah.
Come and get it. And then you can get your certificate for travel. Yeah. You can say, no, I've already had it, thanks. And I can now fuck off to Italy.
I mean, people talk going about masks. I mean, if you want the absolute pointer to where it looks to me as if you can prove masks don't work,
yeah,
is hospitals.
How about Scotland?
Hospitals. Hospitals, though, where you still have to wear masks. Yeah. And yet it's the place where there are the most cases of COVID.
Yeah.
So the masks aren't stopping COVID
apart
in
from
hospital.
Scotland. Scotland, well, where they have more cases than anywhere else in Britain.
Not anymore, mate.
And they've only just fucking taken the mask mandate away today.
You see, I know what's going on between fourth place in the Elton John lookalike contest, Nicola Sturgeon's mind. It's this, right? So people go, how come she's stuck with fucking masks for 647 days? You know, why is it only now she's thinking? Because she's fucking ugly. And she's thinking about other ugly people. And it's better for the rest of them if ugly cunts have bits of fucking cloth across their hideous features.
Yeah.
That's what she's thinking
about. I wish
she in
Blackpool.
She's getting a lot of fucking... she's getting a lot of criticism for her mask policy. But I think she's just being kind to hideous cunts.
Yes.
Like
well,
why
doesn't fucking Blackford wear one?
He should wear a fucking sack from the top of his head to his fucking feet.
Yeah.
Resign!
How about a burqa?
Resign!
He should wear a fucking burqa. Now, let me tell you this. We're going to talk to you today about GetKeeper.com because we all hate passwords. We're frustrated when we can't remember a password and we tend to reuse them. In today's world where everything is digital, this is like leaving your house and your car unlocked. We all need to know how to do a better job with our passwords. The time to do it is now. And here's what you do. You can get password manager now and it's called Keeper. And you can start your free trial as a Thought Police listener at www.get-keeper.com. We'll put all these links on the podcast as it goes, right? It's great for businesses. It provides all the features small and large businesses need, including integration with different systems, role-based access control, secrets management. You can store all sorts of things on there, not just passwords. You can store social security cards, national insurance numbers, passport photos. You can fill out forms with patented auto-fill technology. And it is the most secure. It's been highest rated, named PC Mag's Password Manager of the Year for 3 years in a row.
That sounds good.
Which is pretty good, right? Top rated productivity app on the App Store. And it's very secure. You can share it with your family, with your friends and your colleagues. So go get it. It's called Get gutters-keeper.com. Go there now, get yourself a free trial, and check it out.
Worth a go, yeah.
Absolutely right. So Nicola Sturgeon reported to the police.
I mean, yeah, for not wearing a mask.
For not wearing a mask.
So she's going
in a barber's.
Yeah. So she's going around saying, "Oh, Boris Johnson got to resign because he broke his own COVID rules." But clearly, she doesn't think she has to resign if she breaks hers.
Well, she hasn't called for her own resignation, has she?
No, not yet.
Funnily enough.
But more and more Scottish people would like her to resign.
Well, more and more.
I never come across any Scottish people who don't think she's a cunt.
Right. Well, I mean, there is this kind of rump of Scottish independence, but I think they're mostly on Twitter. We call them cyber gnats. And they always kind of swarm around if you ever say anything nasty about her. But there's a lot fewer of them now than there were. Because she's fucking ruined Scotland. I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day who was up there. This was just last weekend. And he said everyone in restaurants are wearing masks. Everywhere you go on public transport, everyone's
even
wearing masks.
They don't have to anymore.
This is before they lifted it. But I mean, even down here, when you were supposed to wear it on public transport, people didn't. I mean, I fucking didn't. You know.
And that number's really going down now in London. I mean, even the last couple of weeks. Since they made it non-mandatory, the number of mask wearers on the tube, I've noticed, has really reduced.
Oh, totally. It's starting to get warm, right? I mean, I was on the tube last Thursday. I thought I was going to fucking die. I was so hot because I still had a coat on, so I thought it was like quite cold weather.
Yeah.
And I was sweating so much when I got to the place to try on my new suits. I was literally dripping in sweat and my fucking shirt was sticky. So I thought I was ill. I thought there was something wrong with me. But I was just too fucking hot. I'll tell you what. When I was in Oxford Street last week, actually, this is weird. I came out of Bond Street Station, so I walk up the road.
Yeah.
There was this massive demonstration going on about a place I'd never heard of called Tigray. Any ideas?
Tigray,
yeah. Tigray. You never heard of it?
It sounds like a fucking DIY shop.
I thought, it sounds like something like Stingray. Yeah.
Tigray.
Or it sounds like the new Chevrolet Tigray.
And what is Tigray?
Apparently it's an area somewhere between Eritrea and fucking Ethiopia.
Where
there's some apparently genocide going on. And all these people are marching down Oxford Street, completely stalling all the traffic, demanding an end to the genocide in a place I'd never fucking heard of.
See, genocide, that's the thing that gets a bad press.
It does get a bad press.
You never hear anything about the positives, do you?
You really don't. But there aren't any, in fact, for that. I should tell people at this point that Kevin's not trying to be unpopular. These are actually his real thoughts.
These are my real thoughts.
This is actually what he thinks at night.
This is my belief system.
Yes. Now, speaking of your thoughts at night, what about these wankers from Extinction Rebellion? Because we should give them a fucking hosing.
You approve of genocide for them?
Well, probably. If you're in Extinction Rebellion, I'm afraid we're going to be...
Genocide is good.
Well, we should send them to...
See, no one talks about the positives.
Send them to Rwanda, could we?
Yeah, fucking anywhere will do.
Mm. Have you come across any of them lately?
Well, not personally, no. But they're at
it again.
No, but
they've been occupying bridges all over London.
I had some little... They're all called fucking things. I had one on my show on Friday night called Nathan.
Nathan.
And then I heard of one on the weekend called Etienne. I mean, none of them are called Bob or Trev.
Or Kevin.
Yeah. They're never called things like that. Nathan and Etienne. Fucking little prick.
I know. But they've been fucking screwing up London ever since the whole fucking school holidays were on. I'm assuming tomorrow they'll all be back at school and there won't be any more fucking disruption, will there?
Well, I mean, they're not that young, are they? I mean,
there's some old ones.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of ones in their 20s, like the one who wears the sheep fleece.
Oh, yeah, Cameron.
Yeah, your mate.
The carpenter.
Yeah.
If he's a fucking carpenter, I'm a fucking king of Prussia.
He's never seen a bit of wood.
He's never seen a plank bigger than him, that's for sure. Yeah. Fucking twat.
So I was just saying to this guy, why do you feel that your belief system is more important than anyone else's? Mm. I said, I've got the right not to actually care very much about your alleged climate change emergency. But it's an emergency. I said, A, I don't accept it's an emergency. And B, even if I did accept it's an emergency, I've got the right not to give a shit about
it
I want to.
And also,
and he just couldn't get it through his head.
No. But also the other bit that they can't get through their heads is that they can't tell you what would happen. Say, for example, if everyone in Britain stopped using oil, right? So if you stopped using oil and eating in your house, if you stopped driving a car that took petrol or diesel, what would actually happen? You know what would happen? Fucking nothing would happen. It would be exactly the same as it was yesterday. There would be no fucking change to the climate, no change to the world's temperature, no change to the fucking sea level. There would be literally nothing different.
Yeah.
So why would you fucking do it?
Well, if you got... China to
I'm saying if we did it.
We produce less than 1% of the world's pollution, so nothing we can do in this country will ever make a blind bit of fucking difference.
But even if China did it, nobody would see the difference for a minimum of 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, but at least then you'd be talking about the country that puts out
28%
of the world's pollution. So that's over a quarter of the world's pollution. So at least if you got China to change its ways, then you'd...
Yeah, but you're not going to, are you?
Yeah, but that... No, I know that. But at least then you'd be talking to someone... A country that could make a difference if it changed its ways.
In 20 years.
But we could all, in this country, never mind 20 years, in this country, doesn't matter what the fuck we do.
No.
Nothing will ever change the global situation. So why are we fucking bothering?
I know.
I said to this little cunt on Friday, I said, why don't you go to fucking Beijing? What are you doing here? Oh, well, we're trying to be the moral leaders. I said, well, I'm not.
Why
I'm
the not fuck trying to be the moral leader. How are you going to be a moral leader by jumping on top of a tanker, interfering with a bloke who's doing a hard day's work for a hard day's pay, clipping his fucking brake lead so that basically he can't drive the thing, and also now causing shortages for people who need to heat their homes because it's still cold in lots of parts of Britain. It might be warm here, but it's not very fucking warm everywhere. You know what I mean?
Right, I'll pause here and then cut it back up.
Okay.
Guys, sorry, quickly. Can you hold, because the mic's picking everything up. Mike, when your finger, you need to hold it like that, okay. Otherwise I can hear it. And can you just hold it like that?
Like that, yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll just cut this back in. So
Because it goes like this. Basically, the reason they do their demonstrations here, these fuckwits from Just Stop Oil, Insulate Britain, Extinction Rebellion, the reason they do them in Canning Town and on Waterloo Bridge is that's a lot handier for their homes in Tunbridge Wells than fucking Beijing.
Yes, it's better to be
It's just
nearer.
All about them. It's just them showing off. Look at me. Yeah. I care about other people. I care about the environment.
They clearly
don't
care.
They only care about themselves. This is virtue signaling.
Also, did you see that
on
woman?
Steroids.
Did you see that woman at the weekend who was having to go to the police in Essex saying, why don't you fucking do something? Because the police are just standing there watching them. And the guy's going, oh, well, you know, we've got a job to do, madam. And she's going, yeah, but there's a lot of businesses here that can't do their fucking business. We're all losing loads of money. What the fuck are you doing about it?
Your job is to arrest people who break the law, like these demonstrators, for example.
Yes.
Why the fuck is that? That every time it's fucking climate change protesters and they go and obviously break the law, breaking into refineries, gluing themselves to the M25, blocking the Queen's Highway. Why, when the police want to prosecute them, does the government have to take out injunctions?
I know.
It's like, you know, if somebody gets caught breaking into a fucking house or shoplifting, you go, oh, well, you've just stolen, a bottle of scotch from the off licence. I looked it up. That is against the law, but I'll have to get an injunction out to see if I can prosecute you. What a load of shit. Where did that come from?
I know. Is it not something to do with the fact that when they went to lock them up and then they spent a night in jail for whatever it was, they then came back out and went straight back to sit down on the fucking motorway again?
Yeah, but they can do that anyway.
But isn't that the injunction? Is that not to stop them doing it again?
No. It was in order to find a specific... alleged crime that they could prosecute them for that would carry a heavier enough sentence to potentially put them in jail. That was the thinking. But I mean, if it's against the law, just fucking arrest them for that and prosecute them. And just saying, oh, we've got an injunction out, and if they go back, they'll have broken the injunctions, then we can put them in prison. Well, it's not going to stop them going
no.
back, because they do go back.
Well, of course.
It's an incentive for them. It's like a badge of pride for them.
Because they've got nothing else to do. I mean, it's no coincidence that an awful lot of these people are fucking teachers. Many of them work in the NHS as well. And they can all fucking take loads of time off, because they're all in the public fucking sector. And it's particularly handy for the summer holidays and the Easter holidays and the fucking Christmas holidays, because they're all off. They're not doing
anything.
What about
if they stick them, you know, a bunch of them stick their hands to the fucking M25 and they're all stuck there. So they can't move. So what we do is we would go down then, we set up like a beauty contest, like a bunch of judges, and we go up and down the line judging the female protesters' tits. They've got nice tits.
Many of them haven't.
Well, we'll give them low marks then.
Yeah.
Given they're not going to win the fucking beauty contest.
And what happens then?
So, well, we just turn every demonstration into a beauty contest.
Just pull them off the road.
Yeah, well, just leave them there. And then once we've had the contest, we just pack up and leave.
Take the winner with you.
Congratulating the protester.
Take the winner with you. Congratulations, offering,
of course, our profound congratulations to the protester with the best tits.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad idea. This week it might have been that bloke, the old guy, who probably had the best tits of all, the one they pulled off the fucking road, who said that he'd been, you know, driven to doing it because the government's doing nothing to save the planet.
These people are mentally ill.
Well, he's only
going to
last another I think they're all ill. I think they're all genuinely fucking nuts.
They are. They've got mental illness.
They really have.
They've got monomania. It's monomania.
What's that?
Well, an obsession with one single issue.
Yes.
Monomania.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's interesting. What about the other big story of the week, which we haven't touched upon yet, and that, of course, is fucking Harry and Meghan. We have to say a word about them. Invading their own privacy. Invading their own privacy. Imagine coming to see your fucking grandmother for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah, man. With a film crew.
With a film crew and no kids.
All right.
Right. Okay. All right, love.
Good to see you again. I've got to go.
You've got to meet your dad as well, who also hasn't met your fucking second child, Lilibet. And the last time you saw your three-year-old, he was only one. I mean, what sort of fucking people are they?
Yeah.
What sort of parents leave their kids in fucking California? And don't tell me, oh, it's arduous for them to take that trip. Not where they fucking go. Not where they go first class. What a pair of absolute
tarts. Well, absolute wankers. And that, now they're in Holland pretending to be visiting dignitaries.
There aren't any dignitaries in Holland.
What is it called? The Hague?
I don't know. It's probably like presumably like the Ukraine. You have to call it Hague now.
You've got to take the pronoun off.
Because you can't call it the sexist. Ukraine or the Lebanon.
It's sexist.
Right?
The definite article.
Hey, by the way, somebody said to me the other day, speaking of sexist, apparently Match of the Day has stopped having Man of the Match. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's now Player of the Match.
Yeah, because there's a lot of blokes in the Premier League, aren't there?
What the fuck? Why can't it be Man of the Match?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have a woman of the match in a man's game. You can have a woman of the match in the other game where the women play, can't you?
I tell you what is good, though. The women's game is coming on leaps and bounds, getting better and better and better, despite the fact that it's utter shit.
It's fucking rubbish.
Yeah, women's football fucking shit.
All the chin stroking that goes on now where they go, oh, it's a very...
When they're fucking sport, they're on a sports program, or they go, and Chelsea are playing Arsenal this afternoon. You go, no, they're not. It's the women. Why don't you mention it's the women, you cunts?
I had some fucking weird moment a few weeks back when they said that so and so has been made the manager of Chelsea. And I went, who?
It was the
fucking Chelsea women's team, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Have you seen the crowds that women's football gets? Just about six people there. That's just their relatives.
Yeah.
Fucking useless.
Have I told you this?
Do you know why no one's interested? Because it's shit. It's just...
You ever heard the Gareth Southgate, what's his name? Phil Neville story, when he went to be manager of the women's football team, the England women's football team. And apparently...
Phil Neville, wannabe,
he's another twat this week.
Yeah, so Phil Neville, yeah.
So apparently he said, right, we're going to try
Didn't
and...
he get kicked out?
just for being shit, right?
Being not entirely politically correct about his his role.
Apparently, right, this is how it went. And of course, I have no way of verifying it, but this is a story I was told. That he said when he first went into the system, he said that a lot of the girls were sharing rooms when they went on trips. And he said, I want to change it to make it more like the men's team, where every player has their own room. We don't have to go back to this old system of sharing rooms. And nobody said anything. And then after he'd finished having his chat with them, the captain came and said, Mr. Neville, I'm sorry to tell you this, but actually most of the girls quite like sharing rooms with each other because most of them are couples.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So they didn't want to fucking have single rooms. They wanted to, you know, but anyway, that's another story. Right, let me tell you about Manscaped, shall I? We can call it that. I don't know if they have to change the name, right?
Manscaped.
Because it's now spring cleaning time. The carpets need cleaning, the drapes, the curtains need dusting, your lawn needs mowing. Spring has sprung, and the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming have best tools for cleaning aisle 5 in your pants, says here. Manscaped, of course, is manscaped.com. You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code POLICE, just because you're such great listeners to the Thought Police podcast, right? And the package includes some things that you've already got. It has the full package you need for everything to do with keeping yourself tidy, right? The Crop Reviver, Spray On Toner, the Crop Preserver, Anti-Chafing Deodorant. You can also get the Perfect Razor, and also you can get all sorts of other added weed whackers. You get a new bag as well. The start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April. Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. So they're committed to raising awareness for it as well. They've got a campaign initiative called We Save Balls. And you've also got the deodorant, and I think you've also got the
I've got the cologne. Aftershave as well.
The aftershave really good. Is good, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. Yeah,
it's really good. So that's what you do. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code POLICE at manscaped.com. Throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life. And
you'll
have
good.
A very pleasant spring. Now, before we do anything else, we should say there's a big show coming up May the 7th.
May the 7th,
in Putney.
Yeah. May the 7th.
Get your tickets on the Patreon site, which is where you can find it, or just check our Twitter where you can also find it. Right now, do you want to run through a list of some of the executive producers?
Yeah, let me get
that. We
let
need
me look
to
them
call
up.
Absolute and utter cunts because they've been kind enough to become our executive producers. I can kick you off if you like. Jason Steele, Leonie Thomas, Robbie Lunnan, Matt Clark, Jennifer Leinberger, who is of course the American whore, John O'Brien, Emma Liu, George Mailing, Tom O'Donnell, Emil Watters.
All right, I'm it. Robbie Lunnan.
Robbie Lunnan, you want to do the rest?
Jenny and the 29 men she fucks every night. Jenny 29. She's working on it.
Is she 29 years old?
No, that's how many men she fucks. Okay. She blows every all night. Right. Dean McCarthy, yeah. Martin Gundry, John O'Brien, Tom O'Donnell, and Gareth Hughes. What an absolute shower.
Yeah, those last two, I think, are new. So Gareth and Tom, you're a right pair of fuckers.
Massive cunts.
Welcome to the massive cunt brigade that you've now just joined.
You are now integral
part of the cunt brigade. We should also thank Dave Johnson, who's the boss of Suitable Choices, an independent mortgage broker, which covers the whole of the UK, even though they're based in sunny Margate. His tagline is straight talking, no bullshit advice. So he's a man after our own heart. That's suitablechoices.co.uk. So get your tickets for the live show at the Half Moon, 7th of May. It's a Saturday afternoon. So if you're busy in the evening, it doesn't matter. You can still come because we'll be busy in the evening too with a new television show that we do by then. But we might talk about that later on. Meanwhile, I've got nothing further to say to you, O'Sullivan.
Well, I've got fuck all to say to you either.
Bollocks to you then.
So fuck off.
I'll see you next week.
All of you fuck off.
Wankers.
Wankers. Bastards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.